Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 7. We're going through the through Proverbs with our in our family devotional with our girls. In this particular proverb, which I hope most of you are very familiar with, is one of unusual power and strength. These proverbs are not just wise sayings like reading Poor Richard Dominack. They're spiritual words from heaven to our souls. And with that in mind, we have to consider what these verses, what these words, what these instructions say very seriously, and pray that God would give us insight, spiritual insight, that our understanding would be widened, deepened, strengthened, that every thought that's in these words might be helpful to our souls. As I was reading this particular chapter, and again I say, if you're not familiar with it, it's possible that you may have this reaction when we read it in just a few minutes. My wife is very familiar with it, but when she saw us reading this to the girls, my girls are ages 6, 7, 9, 10, and 12. She says, I was a little bit nervous. Is that the right word? Uncomfortable. I said, I understand. And when we see the full import of what this says, we should be uncomfortable. We should be uncomfortable with sin. We should be very uncomfortable with temptation to sin. You will notice that this is addressed to my son. You read in Proverbs, there's the instruction of the father to the son. There's the admonition for the child to not to depart from the instructions of the father and to take heed to the teachings of the mother. This is very, very much a picture of a home. My son, what father is there among us that would not have his children heed these words and try to sink them deep into their souls while they're still young? This is very important. This is a paramount importance. I know every parent's heart is that their children would cling to righteousness and depart from evil all the days of their life. My prayer for my children, both the ones that are already grown and the ones that I'm raising now, is that they would love God and follow Him more fervently, more lovingly, with more zeal, with more desire to serve Him than their daddy ever did. That's my desire. And I want to increase every day myself. I'm not gone yet. I'm not at the end of the road yet, I don't think. And so we read these words. Now we will say, well, sounds like he's preaching. to me. You need to be preached to.
Yes.
If you call yourself a child of God, if you call yourself a Christian, you have volunteered to be preached to. You need to be preached to. I need to be preached to, not once a week. I don't need to be preached to twice a week. I don't need to be preached to once a day. I need to be preached to all the time by the Word of God.
Yes.
From whatever mouth that the Lord will use to preach to me. And God uses all kind of voices to preach to me all of the time. I've read books written by non-Christians that preach to me. Have you ever had that experience? When they're dealing with truth, and they're dealing truthfully with truth, faithfully with truth, it'll preach to you. One reason why we try to have family devotions, as well as private devotions, as well as my wife and I having devotions together, is for this reason, that we might preach to each other, that we might read the Word of God together. You can't do it too much. Find excuses to read the Word of God. Get up in the morning and read the Word of God. Read the Word of God during a meal. Read the Word of God while you're riding down the road. Read the Word of God before you have your evening meal, before you go to bed at night. Read the Word of God devotionally. Ask God to speak to you. Often, many times, when I pick up the Word of God, when I pick up the Bible, especially in the mornings, I don't always feel, you know, you get up, no matter what kind of night you've had, you may not feel particularly spiritual. You open that book and you start reading and your mind starts wandering to this and that. What am I going to do today? What about this problem? Well, I've got to make this phone call. Heavenly Father, Lord, quicken my soul to Your Word. Just now, as I'm reading Your Word, speak to me. And He does. He does. He hears my prayer when I cry out to Him. He hears my prayer and speaks to me and warms my soul. Father to Son, there's also in this a spiritual truth that the Heavenly Father is speaking to His children. I do not hesitate to link this message, this devotional, this chapter, with what my dad preached last night about being watchful. Need to be watchful. Our watching should never cease. You know, you can fail. The book of Hebrews. If you haven't read the book of Hebrews lately, read it again. If you have read it lately, read it again. That's a warning to Christians, people who have professed to follow Jesus Christ. It's a warning to them not to turn back.
Yeah.
And if that warning is in the Bible, that means that you may turn back. Sadly, tragically, most of us know those who have started out and started out what seemingly well, but they turn back. I believe Dad was speaking mainly to ministers, but every Christian can. Every Christian. This is so important. It's so important. I believe in what's called the eternal security of the believer. I believe that. I believe that our salvation is sure in Jesus Christ. But I also believe in persevering to the end. And going at it tooth and nail with every ounce of strength, every fiber of your being, pursuing that very end. The end where glory awaits. Where we will enter into the presence of Jesus Christ and His God forever. Our God. Praise His holy name. Our pastor, Don Johnson, spoke to us Wednesday night about about preempting sin, preempting temptation. Make provision in your life to avoid sin. Do what you have to do to stay out of the way. Do not allow yourself to be in a situation where you know you might be tempted. And every one of you know what those areas are. You know what books, what TV shows, you know what magazines, even if they're on a rack at Walmart.
Yes.
Avoid that aisle. Go around the store if you have to. Walk around it 6 times if you have to avoid that. And if you have to go to another store and pay more money, do that. Now, this chapter has an imagery that's used to warn of temptations to sin. Let's read it. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Those are strong words. That's a strong admonition, a strong teaching. Keep my commandments and live. Do you want to live? Do you want to live? Keep my commandments. The implication is that if you do not keep the commandments, my commandments, you will not live. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. That's right here. What happens when something comes flying at your face? That's how you're to keep the commandments. It should be like an immediate reaction. This danger's here. Keep the commandments of God. Keep them. Bind them upon thy fingers. That could mean that they're right there in front of you and you can see them all the time. That they're bound to your fingers. Also, it could mean that you have taught your fingers to work according to righteousness, according to these commandments. That you have control over every part of your body so that you perform those commandments. Not just, oh, that's a good thought. I like that. But I want to keep them. I want them to be in full control of me. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. Not just an outward thing, but from the inside, that you would love those commandments. You'd love God's law. You'd love the truth. And you embrace it. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. You're my friend. My sister. I hadn't seen her in a while. She's here tonight. I was talking to the girls about this the other night, saying to wisdom, thou art my sister. What about your sister? A lot of you men may have sisters. Sometimes some of you might have older sisters. And how did they treat you? You know, that's what he's saying here. My sister likes to give advice, and she'll do it if you let her. Listen to her. Saying to wisdom, thou art my sister. Love her as one so close to you, as a friend that is close to you. Call understanding thy kinswoman. And this is the purpose of all of this. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, the father has a picture as a story to tell to the child. Now, this isn't just for boys. Understand? Yes. Now, it is this, it is that, for it is for boys, but it's also for children. It's for girls, it's for people. It's for adults who have no father, no mother. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. Oh, what a sad picture this starts up with. And he goes down. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait for at every corner. She called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. It's going to be all right. Everything's going to be cool. I've done. It's all taken care of. Don't worry. Come on. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, and diligently to seek thy face. I found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and with carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. We got plenty of time. We don't have to worry about it. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Picture that in your mind. Would to God this young man had. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Don't think you're strong enough. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. This speaks, first of all, of all forms of adultery. Not just one definition of adultery, but every definition of adultery. Who's not guilty? It also, or words, it's imagery that's used to warn of temptations to sin. Any kind of sin you can fit in here. Pride, fit it right in there. Lust of any kind. Covetousness. These things will bring you to hell. All sin bring you to death. Lying looks good at first, doesn't it? What about the different forms of just indulging, overindulging ourselves with pleasures? Sinful pleasures, or even pleasures that are not particularly sinful, but just overindulging ourselves in them because we can. Now, I can talk about sins, and I'm going to stop right there. I hope that's sufficient for you to, in your mind and your hearts, to consider these words. I do want to read James 1, 12 through 15. Not most of you, a lot of you probably have memorized this passage of Scripture. And you should. If you haven't done it, you ought to memorize it because it's important to remember this. I'll just start in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And there's no exceptions to that. It's not an exception in your case. God didn't put you in that situation. God didn't put that young man there on the way to that harlot's house. You can't blame God for that. But every man is tempted. How do you get there? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. But I must say this. I'm not at all here trying to get you to, in your own strength. Not at all. You will never succeed in your own strength in this battle. We're all tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. And our flesh has got a lot of lust in it. It's a battle that we will have until we die. Until we depart from this life. I have had a couple of experiences of saints in their dying days that seemed like they were so far above being tempted. But I know that there are some, and it may happen to you, that even when you're lying on your deathbed, even when you're in the throes of your last breath, that the devil may come to you right then and cast a severe temptation before you. And so we must remember this all the way through, all the way till the end. So, Ephesians, God given us Ephesians chapter 5:6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Don't just pray for yourself. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for me. Please pray for me. Please pray for your brothers and sisters that you go to church with. They all, every one of us, are in this world. And even though we may do everything we can to avoid temptations, yet the devil finds some way to bring them to us. We might be walking around the yard looking at the beautiful sky and the trees and the flowers that God has given us, and the devil sends one of the old nasty birds right into our mind and drops an evil thought in our head right then. Pray. Watch. Put on the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I bless your holy name. I thank you, Lord, that you have not left us to our own devices. You have sent the Holy Spirit into our beings, Lord, into our souls to quicken us and cause us to be able to call you our Father. You are our Father. I believe you're my Father. And Lord, I want to be your son. I believe I am your son. And I want to be that way all the way to the end. I don't want to turn back. I don't want to turn aside. I don't want to have anything in my life that you don't like, Lord. I want to be sinless. I don't want to sin. I don't want to even be bothered with temptations, Lord. But Lord, sometimes, oh Lord, they come anyway. And I expect, oh Lord, that you will help me. I pray that you will help me. I pray that you will help every one of my brothers and sisters here tonight. I pray for those that have not yet turned to you, Lord. And they may have heard of this and say, oh, this must be a fearsome battle. But Lord, you have given us all the weapons that we need to combat sin and temptation and the devil and the flesh and the world. We want to partake of those things by faith and win the victory, win the wonderful victory over every evil thing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.